With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Horticulture Week podcast. I'm Hort Week editor Matthew Appleby and today I'm with Jeff Colgrave. So hi Jeff.
Hi Matt.
And I'm with Nicole Higginson. Hello Nicole.
Hi Matt.
And also with Neil Gow. Hi Neil.
Hello Matthew.
And they're all trustees of the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation. Now the former David Colgrave Foundation was set up in 1993 in memory of David Colgrave. And during his career, David took a keen interest in supporting and promoting the development of young people. And it was with this in mind that the foundation was launched. Now, David's great friend, Peter Seabrook, the fellow horticulturalist, became one of the founder trustees and remained a very active trustee until his death in January 2022. So welcome to you all and thanks for joining the Hort Week podcast to talk about the foundation. And now, Jeff, the name of the foundation has changed in recent months. So what benefit has that given you and why did you do that?
Well, as you've rightly identified, Peter was a very close friend of my father. He used to come often with the camera crews and film in the trials for Pebble Mill at One and BBC Gardens World when he was presenting that many, many years ago. So he was obviously a logical person to be a one of the founder trustees of the foundation as 30 years ago. And during that time, the past 30 years, I think he barely missed one of our trustee meetings. We have two a year and he barely missed one. And he became very much the eminence grise, I would say, of the foundation. We all looked to him when we couldn't quite make a decision. We said, well, Peter, what would you do? And it was very much in Peter's ball to bat back and say, well, this is what you should really do. So I think when he passed away, we were obviously all of us were in shock, even though Peter had lived a very good and long and healthy life, and he was very much the lead figure, if you like, of the foundation. So we thought a good way of honouring him was to add his name to the masthead of the foundation. Which is what we decided to do, and because he and my father were good friends, it felt like a logical thing to do. And of course, you know, he was a very well known figure in the industry, very well respected. And we thought that adding his name to the masthead would lend us additional credibility and allow us to push forward our agenda of supporting people, young people in horticulture.
Now, it sounds like a great addition. It sounds like it's been a real benefit to you. So just looking at the foundation more generally, Neil, how is it changing?
Well, obviously, as Jeff has just outlined, the changing of the name and the incorporation of Peter's name into the foundation title, it's given us, I think, renewed impetus. But that said, it was something that we were already embarking on. We realized a couple of years ago that as a foundation, we needed to be doing more. And we set about that. Peter was a very integral part of that. And yes, we all, I think the whole industry is still to a degree reeling from the loss of Peter. But it certainly knocked us back a little bit in January. But, you know, as Peter would have wanted, you know, once we sort of got over the initial shock, it it rejuvenated us and made us even more determined to get on with what the foundation was all about. And I'm not going to go on about the shortage of skills in the horticultural industry. There's so much of that at the moment anyway, that I don't want to repeat that. But horticulture is not seen as a profession by so many people outside the industry. It's and therefore we're struggling to attract enough good caliber people into the industry. And you know, as our patron Alan Titchmarsh said quite recently, you know, when you look at the range of skills and opportunities from marketing to floristry and so on within horticulture, there's just so much variety in there. And the foundation has identified this, and obviously that's what we've always worked towards. But we're approaching it, as I say, with perhaps with renewed vigour, which is exactly what Peter would have wanted, upping our game to meet the needs of the industry, to garner support from the industry, as Jeff has mentioned, and to up our game with the training and education providers, the colleges and universities, to up our game with the students, so that we're raising our profile and making a bit more noise about it, both the industry and the foundation.
Now, it certainly seems to be going from strength to strength. So let's highlight a few of the scholarships that are now available. Neil?
With all of our scholarships, what we're most interested in with the students and with the applicants is their ambition, it's their attitude, it's their ability. Those are the things that we're really looking for. What we're looking to support is the students who are going to make a difference to the future of our industry, who for the older codgers amongst us, which unfortunately I come into these days, you know, those that are going to support the industry going forward, as perhaps we have done in the industry in past years, who are going to embrace the new technologies, the new ways of doing things, so that we're really sort of upping our game. And it's one of the things that we're adapting and have been adapting over about the last 5 years, is rather than a series of sort of general scholarships that will just give some support to horticultural students, as horticulture itself has become a bit more specific, a number of our scholarships have become more specific towards research or travel or whatever. And I think Jeff's going to talk about some of the travel ones, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there are a couple I'd like to highlight, which I think are quite interesting. We've got a fabulous travel scholarship sponsored by Majestic Trees. Steve McCurdy, who is the owner of Majestic Trees, he went away on an exchange trip back in the 1980s, I believe, to California, where he, amongst other things, he met his wife to be, and then came and he felt he learned so much there. He came back and started up Majestic Trees, which has been a superb success, and he really wants to give other young people the opportunity to do what he did. So he's sponsored a travel scholarship up to £3,000 to travel to North America or somewhere else where there's a big container tree business, and also have the opportunity to work at Majestic Trees. And I think that's a fabulous scholarship. The other one that's been really quite successful over many years is the Colgrave Markham Scholarship, which was a good friend of my father's called Ed Markham, who was an American seedsman, and their family, along with the what was the David Colgrave Foundation, has put this in place, and we've had a couple of really good students have come through that. One of them, Tim Curley, who won the award some 16, 17 years ago, is now one of our trustees. And the other person I would highlight is a young man, well, not so young anymore, but he was at the time, James Hearsome, who went off and did some work experience in the States, came back. He was subsequently the executive director of the St. Andrews Botanic Garden, the curator of the Royal Botanic Garden in Jordan, and is now the director of the Massachusetts Horticultural Society. So it's a fabulous scholarship and worth up to $4,500, which is something that we give every other year the opportunity to a British student to travel to North America.
That's quite a legacy. And Nicole, is anybody you want to highlight?
Yeah, so the scholarship that I was going to talk about is a more recent one that Blue Diamond have initiated. So Alan Roper, quite unusually for somebody who's running a chain of garden centres, actually horticulturally trained, and he trained at Pershore College. So he definitely understands the benefits of horticulture and is also determined to help others pursue their careers. And we currently at New Leaf Plants have an apprentice, Tom McDonald, who's studying for his level three crop technician at Pershore College. He applied for one of the scholarships and was one of a handful who received one of those Blue Diamond scholarships, which has been brilliant for him. It's allowed him to buy a new laptop, so he's able to carry on his studies and, you know, make sure that they're at that top level. And we're thrilled that Blue Diamond have decided to carry on their funding for Colgrave Seabrook Foundation this year.
Now that's brilliant news. Now you're a new trustee, Nicole, so what prompted you to become one?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know a huge amount about the foundation before I was approached to join as a trustee. But I think my background in teaching and more recently as a director of New Leaf Plants has meant that I've got quite a range of skills, I think, to bring to the foundation. So when I was asked, I was delighted to say yes. I'm hoping that with my connections now within the industry, I'll be able to help with raising some funding. But also with my background, perhaps I can help to with that selection process for the recipients of those awards. David and I, both are directors of New Leaf Plants, and our daughter Molly is one of the founders of the YPHA, the Young People in Horticulture Association. And through her, really, I've seen the determination, I suppose, and the enthusiasm from those young people to really push their careers forward and to encourage other people. And that also, I can see that there's a huge need for our funding and our support from the foundation.
Now, the YPHA certainly gives you a good insight in what's coming up in horticulture. So, Neil, we talked about these scholarships. So how do you promote them? How do you get them out there so people know about them?
Obviously, communication is absolutely key on this, and we promote a lot of our activity and the scholarships through our website, which all of the applications now are done online. We use social media an increasing amount and have got people who are really good at that, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram, LinkedIn and so on. We're using all of those. The trade press, people such as yourselves with our press releases, our articles, our podcasts and things like that. Trade shows where we've appeared and done stands and so on, so that we can get talking to people. And in 2022, we actually had a display, part of the Peter Seabrook tribute, at Gardeners World Live. We're not particularly interested in or needing to develop a public face. We're very much a business charity and a trade, working within the trade, but just helping to raise the profile of the charity. Conferences where we appear, and we're just talking with the GCA at the moment, have a little slot at their conference in January of this year. and then getting out to the actual colleges and universities themselves, talking to the lecturers, talking to the pastoral care type staff at the colleges, and of course talking to the students themselves at the colleges, getting in touch with the student representatives and the course representatives and things. So we're pushing forward on a broad front all of the time. And one of the things that we have also set ourselves as a task to do, but have not really started on it yet, is getting the alumni up and running. So, you know, if there are any past recipients of David Colgrave Foundation scholarships, and of course now the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation scholarships that are listening, please do get in touch, because we'd love to know where you are now and what you're doing and how your career has progressed. So those stories in themselves are going to help us entice and encourage new people into the industry and new people perhaps through the to apply for scholarships.
I would also add, Matt, just to add to what Neil has said, I would really encourage people, when they see our posts on LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever, to like the posts, and also to repost wherever possible, because as we all know, you know, I have three young daughters ranging from 18 to 22, and most of the information they seem to get comes through social media these days. So the more we can get the message out there and spread the net through social media, the more likely we are to reach out to the kind of student who is going to apply for our scholarship. So I would encourage all listeners to please take up the cudgel on that one.
That's good advice. Now, Jeff, talking about fundraising, you've got a bit of a push on at the moment. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, well, we are an industry-focused charity that's actively seeking to fund scholarships, bursaries, open up internships and fund some research that really serve the needs of our industry. There are charities out there that do a fabulous job of supporting the industry, but in rather different ways. People like charities like Perennial and Greenfingers, etc. But we're really the only charitable organisation whose major remit is to support the next generation coming through into the industry, you know, bringing through the next generation of leaders and movers and shakers and employees for the industry. And as a result, we feel that the industry should regard us as an important asset and be willing to support what we're doing. I mean, Neil has highlighted the fact that obviously the cost of education is going up. Many students are struggling to afford their studies. Our support provides much needed financial relief. And the industry increasingly needs well-qualified and capable people. It's an industry that's becoming more reliant on quite complex technical skills. And I think we have a responsibility as an industry to try to encourage students to come through into the industry and get slightly move away from the image of horticulture as being an industry for those who are only capable of digging up the garden and wielding a spade. So as an industry, I believe we have a responsibility to support the education development of that next generation of industry professionals, which is why we're asking companies to support our efforts, and we're given the opportunity to companies, and we're talking to several right now to lend their name to some of the scholarships that we support by sponsoring them. We're a very lean, agile charity. We have very low overheads. Nikki Gao, Neil's wife, is the part-time administrator. We have a full board of 9 or 10 trustees who give their time willingly and freely to support the charity, but we do need that funding from the industry to endow those bursaries, those scholarships, all of that money will flow through to the students, You know, we're not looking to build up a massive pot that's just going to sit in the bank somewhere. We want the money to flow through to the students, and that's our goal. And as I say, we're having discussions now with several companies. We hope to be able to make one announcement relatively soon. But if you're out there and you're listening to this, and you feel that we're a kind of charity that you could and should support, we'd be more than happy to chat to you. As I've said, we've already had, and you've heard on this podcast so far, we've had support from Blue Diamond, from Majestic Trees, from Ball Colgrave. My old business have very kindly supported us now for several years, but we feel that there's more that the industry can do to support us. So the message that I'd like to get out there is we're only one phone call away.
And it's not just the plant growers and breeders, is it, Jeff?
That's right.
I sat with the chairman one day last week of probably one of the biggest suppliers of dry goods to our industry. And he made a statement that as a business, he doesn't require horticulture for his business to operate, but he recognises that because the vast majority of what he produces is sold through garden centres need horticulturalists to succeed, and therefore he needs horticulturalists to succeed for his business to succeed. Therefore, even though he doesn't directly need horticulture for his business, he is inclined to support us because of his customers needing horticultural support. So it's wide ranging. It isn't just plant growers and breeders and so on. It's the dry goods people should be. We should all be supporting the industry. We all need plants to live, don't we?
We do indeed, and there's a lot going on at the foundation at the moment, doing a lot of good work. And we've covered a lot of ground there, but we always finish the Hort Week podcast with our fun question. And I think, Nicole, you're going to have to answer this one. And it's basically, what is your favourite plant? What plant would you take to a desert island? Have you had any thoughts on that?
Oh, well, now you've slightly changed the question there. I mean, if it's to a desert island, a different matter altogether. But what the question I was going to say, which is my favourite plant, I mean, clearly I'm going to be a little bit biased, aren't I? So it's have to be a clematis. And my favourite, my go-to for that would be a Vitticella-type clematis, so an Etoile Violette, because they're so easy to grow, totally bomb-proof, and very easy to prune. You just chop it down in the winter, and it'll just spring back up again in the spring, which I just love. However, I think, actually, yesterday when we had a little chat, Neil had an even better choice of plant, and his maybe would be more appropriate for a desert island. So would you like to share your story, Neil?
Oh, I'm going to have to get you back for this one, Nicole, aren't I? Yes, we talked about it yesterday, and I said mine, being the dour Scotsman that I am, mine had to be something that was edible. So it's going to be sprouts.
Sprouts? Crikey, what? Why?
Because I love them. They're good for you. They're tasty. And I have one of those unknown facts that people would find hard to believe. But at primary school, I held the sprout eating record.
Brilliant.
108.
108. Crikey.
Yeah, I had the playground to myself all afternoon.
I bet, in one sitting. Well, no one's ever chosen sprouts before, and I doubt anyone will ever choose them again, but that's cool.
At least I won't go hungry on my desert island.
No, fantastic. All right, well, thank you very much to Nicole Higginson, to Jeff Colgrave, and to Neil Gow of the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation. I'm Matthew Appleby, Horticulture Week editor, and thanks for listening. And make sure you never miss a Horticulture Week podcast. Subscribe to or follow Horticulture Week podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or your preferred podcast platform. And once again, thank you and goodbye for now.
Hold up.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.